Blog Talk Radio.
Keep doing your thing, because you never know. I might be sitting at home with a chicken bone, see on TV. Now, wait a minute. I know them, you know.
Double O-W, double E, ooh-wee. Looking for the sweetest hit. Well, we got the recipe. Been patient waiting for someone to show you. So we gonna show you how. We gon' break it down. We gon' break it down.
Oh, man. Hey, Al, they should have been singing the whole time live.
Exactly, man.
I got 10 engagements. If I go to one event, I got like 5-6 people, you know, booking me. Blam, blam, blam. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. I'm independent. And I am doing, I'm independent. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing it like on a big scale. Like, I'm a real artist. I'm like, what? But hey, I spoke.
You are a real artist. I am a real artist.
Was written, and you know what? You know what, cuz? I'm so appreciative. You zeroed in right where I really want the reader to get. That's really the reason why I wrote the book.
I'm blown away.
I told God I would be faithful about the spirit that he gave me. And he wouldn't let me release it for some time. But if no one else gets anything out of that book, get chapter 9.
That's very, very simple. You know, I talk nice to them. They call me Daddy, AJ Dicko. AJ Dicko. Three times. And I'm big to them. I don't do no physical harm to them. I just threaten to take the food, the clothes, and the home from them, and they act right.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking maybe you might have to clean house or something like that, but that's great.
Well, back in the old days when I first started, I used to use the duct tape and the clothes hangers and all that.
Yeah, yeah. See, I thought that, yeah. Because that's an old tried and proven practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard.
It's a national anthem. I make them all say before I put them on the street. They say, "We are K-Tickle Girl, the one you heard about. We fight with knives and 45s and broken bottles, too. We are K-Tickle Girl, so who the hell are you?"
Oh, mercy.
Who the hell are you?
Okay, I was just about to ask you that. Like, what genre would you say most of your music, I guess, is in? I don't want to put you in a box or anything, but what do you feel it most represents, your style of music?
Well, Ron Hill, who's one of my partners, and we formulate the Love Brothers. We've just finished our fourth CD as well. He lives in Virginia. He said it's a combination of jazz and hip-hop, which he calls jip-jop, which I registered and copyrighted right away.
No, other than the fact that, you know, like you said, I was sitting there. There was times when I was sitting beside him while he was doing his beats and everything, and I don't want to call him his real name. Taz has come a long way, and his music
thank you,
is...
Thank you, Jesus. This is the voice, and as I said before, T-A-Z, host the show, man.
Good evening. This is A-T-A-Z-P, another T-A-Z production, live on Blog Talk Radio with your host, T-A-Z. This is a special night. I don't even know how to act in here because it's Tuesday, and I don't do these shows on Tuesday. I don't know how to act. So I got Hoism 8. That's the title of the show, Hoism 8, with my friends from Alaska, Phil Strong and Tony Glass. Fellas, say something to the people that's listening.
What's up? What's up, everybody?
Phil has been on the show before, but Tony has never been on the show. you a virgin to the show, so sir, can you tell the people when you first got up to Alaska, and you know, just give a brief introduction on when you first got to Alaska, and then we'll go to Phil, and then we'll go to how we all met and all that. Starting with Tony.
Hey, like I say, this is Frank Glass, and hey, at the time, I think it was 1988, leaving Fort Bragg, got ordered to go to Alaska. I was married at the time, had a 18-month-old son, got to Alaska, but I really enjoyed it for the first couple of years, and, you know, then things kind of went sour in a failed marriage, and that's when I ultimately met TJ.
Phil, go on. Yeah. We'll get into the rest of it. Phil.
Yeah.
Go on and say, you know,
well,
when you went up there.
Well, I got orders to go up there to Anchorage, Alaska. Didn't know what the hell to come into. I thought it was nothing but igloos and penguins up this. But, you know, got out there, Anchorage Airport, and got on the bus, and started seeing restaurants and seeing.
You dropped there, Phil. What'd you say? Phil.
I think he.
Yeah, Phil, you got to come back. You got to go by a window somewhere, girl. We call each other girl, too.
Oh, you, man, you... tell him. He got to do something about that crooked wireless, huh?
Phil, either you're going to have to call back because we can't hear you. Okay, I'm going to say it. When I first met y'all, I met Phil on Post because I used to see him at the Cattle Company, which is a club and a restaurant. I used to see him at the Cattle Company, and we used to, you know, hang out while we was there. Then I ended up seeing him at one of the mess halls because I really didn't know if he was in the Army or not. And he was at one of the mess halls, and I met him, and I said, man, let's hang out. And then you started coming out, Tony, after you got in the, you know, disagreement with your wife and had a disagreement. Here's Phil. He came back in again. Phil, you hear us now?
Yeah, I still hear you.
Yeah, okay. So I was telling them how I met Tony and you. And Tony started hanging out with me. And it pretty soon it looked like Tony was like, man, you know everybody I know. Because we was tripping on and some of the people he didn't know because he was like, man, you know her too? Yeah, I know her too, you know. So go on up, Phil.
But you know,
tell them how you. Go on.
Well, you know, you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. Well, you know, it all started at the NCO club was where I met you at.
Okay. My memory is better.
Yeah, it was, you know, when they had a kicking downstairs in the basement. But anyway, you know, game recognized game. And plus, I've seen you in the mess hall a couple times. I said, well, let me step to this brother and see where his mind's at. And introduced ourselves, and bam, you know. And then we see one another at the cattle company. All the time. You know, then we was at the mess hall. We always like, hey, you know what day it is, right?
Yep. The question I got for you fellas, when you first got to Alaska, did you actually think you was going to have some fun, or did you think, like Phil said, it's going to be a lot of igloos and just darkness all day long and sadness. Go on, Tony, you go first.
Well, yeah, of course, I thought it was going to be nothing but igloos and darkness and everything. But, of course, once we got up there, I say we, me, and the wife, once we got up there, you know, it was pretty nice, you know. And, of course, you know, pretty much the only thing to do then, because, of course, being from Atlanta, there was more hunting and fishing going on. So, of course, you know, we just ended up in the gym.
Yeah, yeah. We used to play a lot of ball, too. And that's one of the other places I used to meet Tony at the gym. We used to play a lot of ball. I remember when I came over to pick him up, Phil, at his house. He was living in housing on Post. And I said, "You sure you want me to come?" He said, "Yeah, I'm going out." I said, "Okay." And his wife and him was fussing, and she hit him in the head. And I ain't never seen nobody do a live suplex on somebody in front of me. I mean, I seen it on Studio Wrestling, but I ain't never seen it live.
Man, it was just a reaction, man, because, you know, everything was good. Yeah, we had an altercation and everything. Just, you know, it got a little loud and everything, but, you know, we kind of mended everything. And remember, I was getting ready to walk out and everything, and we was all good. And then she was like, "Tony," and I turned around, and she hit me straight in the forehead, dude, remember?
Yeah, I remember. I was in horror.
Wow. She hit me so hard until I saw darkness, and before I knew it, I had GDTs, my doggone old lady, man. Gotta be kidding.
Hey.
The very next,
Phil, the he very, did it so yeah, Phil. He did it so professionally.
Yeah.
He grabbed her neck and fell back. I was like, I ain't never seen this in my life. Like, on the kitchen floor. And then he popped back up and said, he popped back up and looked at me. "Let's go."
Man, the poor man had a little knock on his forehead, man. That jump was so messed up. Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Wow.
Hey, Phil, I was driving. The first thing I told Tony, I said, "Man, you better patch it up because you know they're getting ready to put you in my room. And I need my room open."
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Hey, I didn't even get to see the first sergeant the very next morning and say, "I need a room," before I even got in trouble. So I'm like, "Oh, my God." I showed it to nobody. Though I showed DDT to.
Yeah, I know. I sat there. I was scared. She was sitting on the floor. Hey, after he DDT'd her, I saw the stars for her going around her head. I'm like, "What?" I seen the stars myself.
Yeah, you make it seem like I'm so warm. And that was just a reaction, man. Oh, my God. You kidding me.
Now, Phil, tell them about when the time that the bouncers was letting us in for free at the cattle company, and they were actually getting mad at us when we was pulling money out because they were like, "Man, what are you doing?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?"
That was true. Yeah, I remember.
Well, for me, you know, I always got hated on regardless of any club I go to for some apparent reason. I don't know, but. You know, I never really got along with them because they always seemed to mess with me anyway. But they seemed to get along better than I did. But you know, I just took it as a come, man. Sometimes they let me in without a fight, and then other times, you know, I had to sit there and say, "Man, I'm in there every day, every other weekend, man." So,
now Phil actually came down after he got out the Army and stayed with me and my ex-wife in Fort Benning. And when we used to go to the club down there, one dude used to be all on field talking about, "I don't like the way he dressed." And I'd be like, "Man, look, he with me, man. I ain't going all the way back home now. Y'all done got my money. Come on now."
But, you know, we dressed alike. We dressed the exact same way, had the same style. You know, we, you know, we worked out pretty much on a regular basis, so we kind of had our swole on, you know. But, you know, he always, I don't know what the hell, I may expect spoken to his ex or wife or somebody says something good, you know, there's no reason to hate all the damn time, man. I mean, every time I had to get a thorough inspection, I thought, oh, he was a freaking first sergeant or something.
You know,
and I'm like, why you sweating me, man? I mean, you want me to kiss? I don't kiss nobody's ass, for one, you know. But I don't know what his problem was, but it's not that, though. It's just like everywhere I went or everywhere I go, Atlanta, Columbus, Steve, Anchorage, every state I lived in, man, I got hated on for some reason. I'm not really understood why, but, you know, that's how it is sometimes.
That pretty boy swagger.
But, you know, I don't present myself that way, man, you know. But, you know, if a guy going to hate on me, why he want to lick my – I don't know what kind of language we can have on here, but, you know, he was all on me. Like, he was sweating me. I'm like, dang, all these fine women coming through here, and he all on me. You know, what's up with that?
Hey, Tony, still talking about he don't know what kind of language. Well, you done broke 8 codes already, cat. So, might as well keep
on going. Keep a count going, yeah. So, but, you know, being up there in Alaska, though, I can say this about Alaska. There was some ass up in that place. if you couldn't pull in Anchorage, Alaska, either you were gay, you were a happily married man, or you had absolutely no damn game, period. Because there was women all flavors up in there, dog, all flavors.
Thick.
Now, tell the people about when we used to go to club in the wintertime and everybody leave the car running outside in the parking lot.
Oh, hell yeah. You better leave it running.
I couldn't do it, dog. I had a brand new car. When I bought that brand new car, I said, if that sucker don't start, they going to give me another car. So I just turned mine off. I was like, I can't leave mine running. I couldn't do it.
So you made that little car big four-wheel drive anyway with those big tires and rims that you put on it.
Yeah, I did. Drug dealers used to stop me talking about, man, your car is fly, bro. They be looking all in. They used to stop me all the time.
But, you know, Tim, I was told the cattle company wasn't jumping until they seen some cars parked in their regular spot.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? They said it had their black car, the blue car, and I'm not sure what you had there, but it was like five of us up in there that almost knew everybody in that damn town?
Yeah. Me, you, Dre, the drug dealer. There was a couple other guys from the Army that we knew. I can't think of their names right now, but if it was all of – and Bacon – Keith Bacon.
Yep.
He knew everybody too.
So, I mean, if you didn't know about a female, you had to ask one of us. One of us knew, can tell you exactly what's up.
Oh, yeah, and didn't care about passing the flag either, if you know what I mean.
That's why the name of this show is called Hoism. That's why the name, right there.
Hey, yo, man, you know her? Yeah, man, you know her. Hey, I had a little dealing with her a couple of weeks ago, but hey, man, go for it, bros. You know, it wasn't bad. You know, and they just
right.
Doing
well. Right. I mean, there's the right way of doing it and the wrong way.
Yeah.
Right.
So we had, we didn't hold anything from each other. You know, hey, I hit that. Oh, is she cool?
Yep.
All right, we hit it. Oh, in love, you know.
That's, Now that I'm older and I got some coof, I find that degrading. I know that sounds funny to y'all, but I find that highly degrading.
Oh yeah, okay. 30 years after, Mom.
Now you hear me feel very appalling, and I don't even know a Paul. I don't even know a Paul.
Neither do I.
Now, also remember, I'm trying to get everybody in the sync what we used to go through every year. Remember the hint that it was getting ready to snow, because like during the summertime around, I guess May would be our warm point. May, June, July, and any time in August, the snow might come down, and we could tell it was going to snow because the snow was coming down
on
the
top
mountain.
Of the mountain, boy. The top of that mountain got some snow on it.
Halfway down, all the way down to the bottom, you know that snow was going to hit, so you better pick up everything that
you want. You ain't lying.
Yeah, well,
like clockwork.
And hey, one day it was summertime, and then the next day we had 8 feet of snow, and I'm like, what?
Man, dog, man, it was like pretty much like every year, man. You had to remember where you parked your car, dog, because there ain't nothing more frustrating digging out a car that it wasn't even yours.
And
what you say, Tony?
Talk about frustrating, man.
About frustrating, yeah, especially if you forget to plug that car up.
Well, I remember the time those Chinook winds came and took your roof off, Tony, and put it on your neighbor's cars. It went on your cars. It went on your neighbor's cars, but y'all didn't have no roof.
Yep. Remember the volcano that erupted?
Oh,
yeah, with all that ash. Yeah.
I remember that.
All that black ash over that snow, that was the nastiest summer ever.
I remember, dog, because when it exploded, I was listening to the news, and I walked back outside, and everybody said, "Why you got that sheet?" I said, "Man, they said this ash give me a fall down." Everybody looked at me, ain't no ash coming down. I said, okay, but I'm going to put this sheet on my car just in case.
Sheet.
Some of that ash was, you know, was still burning.
Yeah.
And that stuff was just rain, man. It was crazy.
Well, see, Tony, I lived out in the country growing up, and we didn't have no garbage man come to the house and pick up garbage. My dad used to take the garbage to the back and burn it, and it'd be the same effect. When you burn garbage, the ash go up in the air. It was the same effect, so it was just like I was used to that because I seen it, you know, growing up in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Mount St. Helens, by the way. Yeah, it erupted two days prior to hitting us because it took a while because they said it erupted. But they didn't know exactly what direction that ash was going to go. But a couple of days later, they said, yeah, it's going to hit Anchorage, and they ain't lying. That shit was nasty, man.
It was crazy as heck.
Yep. Bill didn't stop to the club and go down in that basement.
It didn't stop none of that. Hey, remember.
Hell no.
Remember when the SEO tried to have on the top in the ballroom, and nobody came because everybody was like, I don't like partying in the nice stuff. I like being downstairs in the ghetto. What?
Yeah. Well, they liked it because it had a lot of hiding places too, though, and places where you can be seen or not be seen and see who's coming in too. So that's why that was happening.
It was too wide open upstairs, I guess.
Yeah, way too wide open.
Go to the club in the summertime, leave the club at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the sun is shining. It was crazy.
You ain't lying.
Crazy.
Now, you, Cause after the cattle come, I used to go to the cotton club down the road. It was all the way down the road, and it'd be like, it looked like 3 o'clock in the afternoon at 3 in the morning. I'd be like, what? Well, I'm still going to this club now, but I'm in shock that it's sunny as heck out. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That was an experience up in that place, boy. I ain't no joke.
What about
hey,
the
I know
go on, Jamaican Tony.
Club.
What'd
Jamaican
you say now?
Club.
Oh yeah.
The Jamaican.
Yeah, I used to go hit that on Sunday. Yeah.
Oh, reggae. Hell yeah,
baby.
club.
I used to go to the party houses too.
Oh yeah.
Where they said you ain't allowed to go.
Man.
Yeah, that is.
Me and TJ used to go meet girls in the club and go over the house the next day. TJ used to bring his music that he made and everything. We sit in there and listen to the music, and you know, next
record.
Thing you know, we leave.
Yeah, we record a couple of tracks too. Remember, I had y'all
Man.
Doing a couple of recordings. Yeah.
And TJ had the girls in there band making the sex noises for real, man. You think back in the days, everything is all, you know, digital now, but TJ had the original ladies in there doing the voices and stuff. He was hitting them, man, and recording them. Like, you gotta be, and they was letting him. I said, boy, that's a bad boy right there. I got to hang.
He gave it to you free, too, didn't he?
Oh, my God,
now?
Man.
Hey,
what,
hey
did he give it to you free?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man, I ain't paying for. Come on, now. I could barely put gas in my car. You talking about what? Hey, Tony, I got offended, didn't I? Come on, you think I'm paying? I remember Tony used to go to a girl's house, and then I guess about a half hour later, he'll call me, yo, man, this girl got ribs and chicken, and they don't know how to cook it. And I said, I got somebody that know how to cook it. I said, you used to call me, it'd be like on Saturday or Sunday. I'd be like, hey, well, I'm going to get to eat. And you say, yeah, we're going to eat. Okay, then I'll go over there and cook it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The good old days. I look at some of the stuff that we used to do then, man, and I was like, I can't even believe that I used to do that crazy stuff. I got a kid out there that's doing stuff, and I was like, oh, my God. That is so crazy. But we had fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the restaurants. Now, there was one soul food restaurant that was at the end of the Air Force base as you go out the gate, right back there. I forgot the name of it.
Yeah.
It was ran by one of our friends because he used to be at the club, and he just happened to see us at the club, and he gave out cards and said, yo, man, anybody come through, you can get a free meal if they come through with the card. Just put your name on the back. So he gave us like about 15 cards apiece. Man, I went back to the barracks and put my cards on the copy machine and ran off about 20 pieces of paper. I cut the paper and made little paper cards because I was like, man, these ain't enough cards. I know everybody in Anchorage. These ain't enough cards for me to pass out. So I was passing out pieces of paper with my name on the back. I went in there one time, dude said, man, you can eat the rest of the time you here. What are they doing bringing paper in? I said, dude, you didn't give me enough cards. What the hell? They're going to give me 15. I know about 200 folks around here. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't anybody knew that would come to Anchorage, between the five of us, we would know.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's hoeing at an all-time rate.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
The ships came in and everything, man. The Navy check. Oh, my God. We've had nothing but fun.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, did you mess around on the Air Force Base, too?
Yeah, I had a couple of them in there. But they're Elmer North.
I know Tony did.
You know, some of that shit you got to keep on that download and shit, you know, because you don't want everybody to know your business.
Oh, man.
You don't want to be like, because you had a reputation, you know, you had to, on the wall, you had to make like, you know, when you get on that wall, because only a certain amount of people could hang on that wall, you know, everybody can't be on that wall at the cattle company or, you know, wherever we stood at.
We used to stand right there in the middle on that galley where it was the handicap, where the people with the wheelchairs would roll down that little ramp. We used to be right there in the middle.
Yeah.
And point at everybody that's in the club.
So crazy.
We always had
it's like,
we always like, did you hit that? Yeah, I hit that. I didn't hit it. She wants you to hit it. Why don't you hit it? No, because you hit it. You know.
Say
yep.
it. Go on, Tony. Go on. What was you going to say?
No, it's like four or five different girls in the club that you're trying to avoid anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not me. I talked to everybody. Because they all knew.
Yes,
I told the truth. I'm a hoe, so y'all know.
Part of the game right there. You know, the truth wasn't part of the game.
Say what now?
The truth was not part of the game at that time.
For me, it was. For me, it was. I told the truth.
Yeah.
That way, I didn't have to worry about what lie I said.
Yeah.
Because
for real, though,
I just told them all the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, I told the truth. That way, I knew what I told. Look here, you see me talking to somebody, you might be number one, but you're going to be number two tonight. So, I love you, though.
Oh, yeah. I remember missing out. I missed two good pussies. Being missing
hey, yo,
two
yo,
good
yo, yo,
shoes.
Yo, yo, yo. Beep.
Oh.
Tony, he just all out right. here. Just you can't say that word. Phil think we on the corner somewhere. We trying to be dignified a little bit.
Oops.
Go on. Go on, Phil. You missed out on two good things.
Yeah.
Oh, have mercy.
But, you know, being Mr. Two Good Shoes, you know, I was with the girl that's trying to work out. I got her pregnant. We had a son. And Tim come to me and said this. One of his friends wanted to hook me up. And I said, no, I'm trying to work this out with this, you know, this lady of mine, and
I
can't remember the name. Bright yellow, green eyes.
Yeah, I remember. It was killing me because we were at me and Keith did that fashion show, and she came up to me talking about, "You friends with Phil?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm friends with him." Oh, TJ, I want to get with him so bad. And then she started telling me what she gonna do to you. I said, "Look, I feel like I'm in the bedroom with y'all, too. I don't want to hear this."
I don't want to hear that.
But that's what we used to, hey, one of my girls would come up and say, "Hey, who is that?" I'm like, "Hey, I got a friend for him." I'm like, "Okay, we'll all meet. Next thing you know, hey. You know, then it just goes on and on and on. Then he'll call me, you know, two or three days later. "Hey, man, this girl want to meet you." I'm like, wow. But, hey, once I got in, it was over. I mean, what a better person to, like, you know, hey, I just got divorced. So what is a better person to meet and hang out with after something like that?
Absolutely. And there was always new people coming in from Emmendorf and Fort Rich, you know, every six months, you know, we always had a new fresh.
Man, it just put me on the swing and showed me the game, man. You know, I had been married like 7 years at the time.
Now, come on, Tony. I didn't turn you back on. You was already good out there. You was good by yourself, dog. He trying to blame it on me. No, sir. I takes no credit. I mean, I might have helped you out a few, and you helped me out back. But, I mean, hey, you was good by yourself, brother. You'd have been all right had I not been there. Let's say that.
Yeah. I think you did. All right, but you kind of, you know,
Yeah, I mean, at the time, when you did get your separation, I was in the height of hoism at that time. And I knew a whole lot of folks. I was up there for what? Maybe a year and a half after you got divorced. Was it about a year?
Yeah.
You was married a good year when I got up there.
About 91.
Yeah, that was a year because I got up there in 90, and you already had been there.
Uh-huh. I had been there two years already.
Yeah, you would expect a year in. I should know some folks if I went out and, you know, socialized. So.
Oh, yeah.
And that doggone Phil, he knew a few folks himself.
Yeah, well, you know, like I say, it was all started. My stuff started at the NCO Club, you know. And then on both sides, Elmendorf and Fort Rich. So, you know, the Air Force guys got mad at the Army guys because, you know, we come up there and we used to pull all their girls and shit.
No.
So, and sometimes, you know, it didn't get, you know, got kind of ugly. So, you know, I stopped. I said, well, hell, there's enough women here in Fort Rich. I was new. I didn't really have nobody yet, you know, backup. So, you know, when you're on your own, you know, you got to know when to fight your battles.
Now, I'm going to change subjects. The time that me and Tony, we used to do color guard for our battalion. And all of a sudden, when they wanted to have a program for the battalion, they would come around running where we were at. Sergeant Jeter, Sergeant Glass, we need the color guard. And I'm like, we doing emergency color guard. Like, yo, we got to grab the same people that do color guard. But the thing about it, we were so good because we knew how to march close together. Had we not knew how to do that, we would look all messed up. But we used to do it just all of a sudden without no practice. Just go on and let's do it. And we'll march out there and do the little color guard. And Tony hold the streamers. And I had the national flag because I had more rank, I guess, than him at the time. And so I remember that we had to do it. It was like 35 minus 35. It was the change of command ceremony. hey, Phil. Tony had the pole with the flag with the streamers. He had all of the streamers on there, and all I had was the national colors, you know, the regular flag. Man, that wind was whipping. Tony was holding on, and we standing all close. We right at the front. I said, man, you better hold on to that. You better hold on to that flag, man. He's like, man, this thing is kicking my ass. And then the dude wanted to talk long, and it was minus 35 out there. I just was like, this is crazy. You remember that talk?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They always try to. They always put us through the ultimate test, man. Like the day. The first sergeant got mad at us because we went to the gym because it was like minus 40 that morning. And
we played football, bro.
Oh, Yeah, so he gonna try to run us like 3, 4, 5 miles before our championship basketball game that evening. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. Had us out there playing football in the middle of the street, running plays. Then he got tired. I said, come on, man, let's go. I got to go to the gym. And he looked at us like, what? You wasting our time. We got to go to the gym.
First of all, you not got tired. You know what I'm saying? You killing yourself out here. Just give it up, bro. We going to the gym. We got a game tonight. We might have two.
I'm like, you trying to teach us a lesson, but you killing yourself. We were crazy like that. That's how good a shape we was in, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Run 5 miles. Hate us the whole way. They didn't care. Hey, all right, come on back. All right, let's go to the gym.
What I'm going to do right now, I'm going to play a song, because you always know. This is a music website, so a music radio show. So I at least got to play a song. And you always know I'm good for playing something that y'all ain't never heard before. So this is E-40. The name of the song is I Be On My Shit, since we talking about the shit we did up in Alaska. And we'll be back after this song.
That nigga so whack. Turn up. Why you fucking with a nigga like that, huh?
What?
Wherever you got the nigga from.
Where you get that nigga from?
You need to take that nigga back. She be in the club. Tryna fuck with a nigga like me, yeah. Cause I be on my shit. Ain't never low key, yeah. I be on my shit. I be on my shit. I be on my shit. I be on my. I be on my shit, I be on my shit. I be on my. I be on my shit, I be on my shit. I be on my. I be on my shit, I be on my shit.
I stay strapped, case I gotta lay a bitch nigga flat. Just cause I rap, don't think that I won't bust my gas. I'm a thug from the mud, and I don't play that sucker shit, man. Real niggas show me love.
Real.
And bitches want my last name. I'd rather hang with a broke real nigga than a fake rich nigga. Fools show they true colors when they off that liquor. I was raised in the trenches with the grimies and hitters. Posted on the app with a mouthful of fitters. Talk by the OGs. Never let a hoe make us enemies. I'm solid as an oak tree. Never falling off like loose.
That nigga so whack. Why you fucking with a nigga like that, huh?
What?
Wherever you got the nigga from.
Where you get that nigga from?
You need to take that nigga back. She be in the
club.
Tryna fuck with a nigga like me, yeah. Cause I be on my shit. Ain't never low key, yeah. I be on my shit. I be on my shit. I be on my shit. I be on my shit.
Focus on my fatty, man.
I be on my shit.
Turn to the max. Dabs of that OG wax.
Vapor.
Counting these stacks. Running game on a bitch like laps.
Paper.
I like to get fucked up. Loaded and keyed off weed, man. The nigga bitch chose up.
Yeah.
Now she fucking with me, man.
If she knew better, she'd do better. Get rid of that square ass cubicle.
He a featherweight. I'm a heavyweight.
Jewelry louder than the music.
Riding to something foreign. Don't you tired of him? He born.
Boring.
I'm pulling up in that Phantom. My ugly ass like hands. Speakers throwing the tantrum. Money like Richard Branson. Alcohol in my hands. Cheers like Ted Danson. Congratulating and celebrating. Thanks for all the hate. He asked too many questions, man. That nigga might be
tight. Why you fucking with a nigga like that, huh?
What?
Wherever you got the nigga from.
Where you get that nigga from?
You need to take that nigga back.
Take that nigga back, man.
She be in the club.
What she be doing?
Tryna fuck with a nigga like me, yeah.
A real one.
Cause I be on my shit.
Yeah.
Ain't never low key, yeah.
I'm out here.
I be on my shit.
My shit.
I be on my.
My.
I be on my shit. I be on my shit.
My shit.
I be on my.
My.
I be on my shit. I be on my shit.
My shit.
I be on my.
My.
I be on my shit, I be on my shit.
My shit.
I be on my.
My.
I be on my shit, I be on my shit.
Hey, this is Deborah Bryant, R&B indie recording artist. Some heard of me, and if I have anything to do with it, many more will. Check out my underground hits, You're Good For Me and Unfaithful, on my Let You Tell It CD. It's available at CD Baby and TowerRecords.com. And of course, you can also listen to it right here, right now, with my man, the T to the A to the Z, another Taz Production online radio show.
Hey, T-A-Z-P, we back with Phil Strong, Tony Glass. Gentlemen, talk about how much fun we actually had. And I didn't believe there was that many black people up there. I just didn't believe it when I first got up there. Now, I knew there was some, but I didn't know how much. They even got a ghetto up there, so I did not know. Go on, Phil, you can go first.
Yeah, they had a few projects up in there. I was quite surprised of many of black folks that was up there in Alaska. it was surprising, but, you know, with the Air Force and the Army, like I was saying earlier, that they come in, you know, ETS and all that, we get new people in every other month, so... but it was surprising, and was glad, made it a whole lot easier to deal with a lot of that weather that we had to go through up there. But, you know, one thing I can honestly say about Anchorage at the time, I didn't have any problems with any race up there, you know what I'm saying?
The cold has a way of throwing racism away, really. I mean,
absolutely.
At minus 35, everybody cold. They ain't worried about no color.
They ain't worried about the heat. But,
Tony.
You know,
Tony, you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, well, go on, tell us, you know, about you were surprised about so many blacks being up
there. Oh, yeah, when I first got there, hey, I definitely didn't expect that many blacks. And like you say, yeah, there were projects, especially by the car wash, where, you know, the drive through car wash, that
yeah,
little project over there. But
yeah.
The best ones are right there in the ghetto, baby.
Yeah, I was over there too. Praise
oh,
God.
Oh, yeah, we all were.
Now, wait, hey. I was surprised they had that many malls up there, too.
Yeah,
and I didn't think it was going to be that modernized. Like you say, I thought it was going to be igloos here. And, you know, I thought the Army uniforms are going to be different and everything, but when you get there, everything's just like any other city.
Yeah
they had skyscrapers, because I know I used to go to... They had the Northway Mall, then they had the JCPenney Mall. There was that outlet where Sears was at. It was that strip mall. And then they had Diamond Mall all the way out on the other side.
Yeah. But you guys, I don't know, because I never went to one up there, but there's not many strip clubs, or there wasn't many strip clubs at the time. I'm not a big strip club person.
Me neither.
There's not many strip clubs.
I think they had them for the white strippers. They didn't have no black strip club.
No, they didn't have all black. But there was some sisters there. Don't get me wrong now.
Now, you know, I'm kind of spoiled
I'm a spoil when it comes to strip club. I'm from Atlanta, so you know I'm straight Magic City.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there were some black ones in there.
I'm gonna tell you right now, I went to one strip club in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania when growing up, and I said I was never going no more because looking at girls get naked and I can't touch it ain't entertainment to me.
Yeah.
And then giving up my money, that sure ain't entertainment to me.
Yeah.
You need to be giving me your money too.
If it ain't for free, it ain't for me.
It ain't for me. I can't do it. I didn't go to no strip clubs. When they sent me to Germany, I didn't go no prostitutes, no house, no whole houses over there because they had them all in Germany. Nah, I didn't go spend no money there, so no. I used to walk the hallway just to look, but I wasn't spending no money. I'm just in here looking since y'all halfway naked.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but you know, when you have some of your army guys that you know that stay in the barracks, and you know you want them to get them out because you have to be outgoing out there, or you can have a lot of mental problems. So, you know, we had to take some guys somewhere. So strip club was the only thing that you know they would go. So I did it as a favor because I was a designated driver. So.
No.
But, you know, sometimes you have to be.
Now, one more thing I want to hit. Now, me and Phil know about this, Tony. You never went with us on this. During Halloween, tested, they used to go all out on Halloween.
Where at?
Remember, we went to the White Club. We went to the White Club. They had this
Chill Kooks. You talking about Chill Kooks?
Yeah.
You talking about Chill Kooks and oh hell yeah.
I took Phil hell one yeah. night. I said it was Halloween night. And Phil said, "Why are we going out?" I said, "Man, when we go out, you're gonna see what I'm talking about." So he said, "Well, what costume you gonna wear?" I said, "Shoot, I'm wearing a suit, and if they ask who I am, I'm gonna say Billy D. Williams." Skip that. I'm not wearing no mask. I ain't wearing no outfit.
Yeah.
And we got out there, and some white girl had this makeup on her face where it was looked like her face was peeling, and she had it on her chest, and she was a flasher. So she opened her trench coat real fast and closed it. I said, she started walking away. I grabbed her hand. Hold on. Do it one more time, but do me slow. She did it all slow. And me and Phil was looking. Phil was like, man, she was nice. And all she had on was some tassels and a little bikini bottom. So before we left, I stopped her again. I said, just one more time. One more time.
There wasn't no shiners up there, man.
We were foolish, bro.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, that's how you got to be out there, man. Survive. You know, you got to be outgoing. You got to do things that, you know, you normally wouldn't do. Or, you know, it's going to be a long, long tour.
Yeah, they
very long.
Fever.
What you say, Tony?
The cabin fever is no joke.
Now, Phil, one time Tony invited me to come down to Fort Gordon when I first went down there. He's married to this crazy lady. I guess it was your birthday, was it? Your birthday or something?
Yeah.
Or I know he got a grill, and me and him put it together when I got down there. Then I'm the visitor, but I end up cooking. And so... I was like, then they didn't have no music. They tried to have people over there. They didn't have no music. I had a lot of CDs in the car, so I was the DJ too.
You were the man too,
Tony?
Brother.
Say what?
Sir, remember we snuck out and went to the club that night?
Yeah, I remember that.
Because she was telling me, you ain't going nowhere. I'm like, oh, right. My boy's here out of town, too. Man, so we went to the dirty float. Super Steve.
Sergeant Bruce told me that he came to see you, and y'all went out, and then your girl got mad at you. And he was supposed to stay there for school, and he ended up had to get out.
Who?
Bruce? Yeah, Bruce. I talked to Bruce a couple, like last year, and he told me about that. He said your girl got mad at him because he took you out, and then he had to get out and find a hotel.
I don't remember that. Well, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah. He everything. There was a little bit more detail to that. I was straight guilty. So,
well,
he did take me out, but I didn't come back.
see, that's where hoism gets you at, right there. That's a true definition of a hoe right there.
I didn't come back when I was supposed to, and so it was like both of you get out. Yeah, for that.
Hey, Phil, that sounds like sufferings of a hoe right there.
Sure, you're right.
Almost as bad as the night that I came home late,
uh-huh,
and got drunk, came home late and everything, and you know the old lady was upstairs in the bed and everything. So I came in the front door and I snuck on the couch and I laid down and I went to sleep, and I woke up the next morning with my little boy playing with me, and she came downstairs and she was like, "Hey," I'm like, "Hey, what time you get home?" Of course, I lied. Oh, about 2:30. I get home like 5. And she was like, well, she's like, what's going on? I'm like, nothing. She said, why is your underwear down around your shoes? I had no idea.
Oh.
She was like, did you go to the bathroom or something? I'm like, no. She said, well, why is your underwear down around your shoes? I'm like, man. Dude, I was with this girl. Got to pull my drawers up. Before I got caught. That's how bad it was, man.
Wait a minute. Tony, remember Morgan that used to be in the Army with us?
Yes.
And you said that her hairs down there were so tight, they looked like 1,000 ants with their fists in the air, bald. He said, Phil, he said the hairs down there were so tight, looked like 1,000 black ants down there with their fists balled up in the air. I was screaming, boy. I was like, what? Ants, black ants with their fists balled in the air. What?
But he still hit it, though, man, I bet.
Well, he said after he got through, he was all cut up.
Boy.
You're killing me, boy.
That was an experience.
Oh, but Morgan, she was tough because outside the cattle company, she fought this girl, and the girl had a switchblade, and she still fought her. She was getting cut every other hit, but she was still fighting this girl, and the girl had a switchblade between her fists, sticking Morgan every time she swing on her. You remember that, Tony?
Yep. Well, see, the thing about Morgan, man, she was crazy. She was an impulse. I mean, done everything on impulse. So, you know, you'd be sitting in the club, and she'd be like, hey, come here. And then you go out in the car, and say, you know, she's sitting there riding you, and all them old nappy hairs is just tearing you up. It's crazy.
I just want to say, it was nice having you fellas on. I'll give each other I text y'all both y'all numbers so y'all can stay in contact, man.
Man, I
go on, Tony.
I say, hey, man, it's cool.
And like I said, I'm glad you both were on. It's the first time y'all talked about over 20 something years, right?
Oh yeah,
man. 92.
That's a long time.
Yep. Oh yeah.
So I'm gonna end with this song. I'm gonna end with a song. It's off my new CD. TAZ Black President. You just can Google it, TAZ Black President, and it's on all the music online stores, on YouTube, on iHeartRadio, all over the place, Amazon, Spotify. This song is called Knocked Out the Box. Again, I want to thank my guests, Phil Strong, Tony Glass, on a special night, Hoism 8, on Tuesday. I can't believe I'm in here on a Tuesday. Anyway, here it is, Knocked Out the Box, another Ho song. And y'all can say it's true or not. I'm just saying it's a song. Here we go.
Check it. Girl, how you do? What you do when you do? Man, I'm T-A-Z. You don't know of me. The lines I say are so complex. The bass is marked with an X. It started at a nightclub show where I met the girl, Renee the Ho. She was kicking the high top props, saying how she could work the box. I said, girl, with a style not funny, why don't you do it? Yeah, for the money. She said, T-A-Z, I have a car outside. It's a Jag, but not the only ride. I have a bet, a Porsche, and a Benz from the box that does those freaky things. So I know I do get paid for the sex of the box. When I get laid, I say, yo, can you make Jim smile? She said, sure, the body's awful wild. I thought to myself, this girl's too proud. I killed that box, make it scream real loud. So later on, that very night, I spanned that suit so very tight. My eyes watered looking at her ass. I played the mower and waxed that grass. She said, wine stimulates the mind. It gets me hot almost all the time. So I poured the wine out the bottle, in a minute hit the jackpot like the lotto. The girl was looking extra fine. Me and her, she will be mine. She said, T-A-Z, the box is wet. I don't think you can hit it yet. It's too hot for you to handle. Feel the fire, yo, from the candle. The bitch was talking plenty shh in her mouth. There'll be plenty dick. I'm a motherfucker, strong to yoke. I'll make the scream in just one stroke. The T-A-Z, yo, is no joke. I'll spread those legs, her back is broke. The clothing left, it was her skirt on top of me. She said, it won't hurt. She started to move the muscles inside. The box went from slide to glide. I thought to myself, is this all? Then all of a sudden, I was having a ball. It was the tightness of the box. Renee the Ho, but now the fox. My hands were resting on her hips. In my passion, I kissed her lips. Her sex was wet, her sex was good. I screamed like bitches in Hollywood. She said, come T-A-Z, and out it came. It was so wet, I thought it rained. She said, T-A-Z, can you get with this? I said, it's your box, I want to kiss. You love me like no other with the box. You are my only lover. The stuff is great. And yes, the time she said the T-A-Z got knocked out the box. She knocked me out the box. She knocked me out the box. She knocked me out the box. That girl knocked me out the box. She knocked me out the box. She knocked me out the box. She knocked me out the box. That girl knocked me out the box. She knocked me out the box. She knocked me out the box. She knocked me out the box.
that good.